of culture. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. Kev, Philippians 3. We're there?
Yeah.
17, starting verse 17 through 21. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Culture. We talked about citizenship last week and how in the Church of Jesus Christ, the youth generation really does not care anything about the things of God. But it is important that we understand that citizenship and culture go hand in hand. They really do. You see, culture is what molds our citizenship. We know that every country has a culture. And we can figure out where a person is from by one common denominator. And that common denominator is in their language, how they speak. We know that if we're in Germany, all we have to do is listen to a person speak in German, and we know we're in Germany, right? But what if that German person comes to America? They look just like us, right? They're human beings. We don't know what culture they're from until they open their mouth and begin to speak, right? And they speak in a broken English with an accent, heavy accent. And so we can then discern where they're from. And we have to understand that every culture has one major language in which they operate. The French speak French. The Italians speak spaghetti. The English speak English. And the Orientals speak Oriental. See? The Spanish speak Spanish. And we know that each one of these areas, these countries, all have a major language in which signifies the culture they're from. Although they have subcultures within there, or other languages or dialects, the basics of their culture is known by what they speak. Russians speak Russian. Ukrainians speak Ukrainian. And we know parrots speak parrot. Polly wants a cracker. Right? Culture. What is our culture? What has Jesus done for us? What have we been about in the creation of what God wants to do? All determines the culture that you live in. You see, there is a definite culture in the Church of Jesus Christ. What is the language of the culture of heaven? Does anybody know? Love. The language of love. It is spoken and it is demonstrated. And that love is sacrificial. That love does not look for its own gratification or lust. That love looks to even give up their lives so that someone else may benefit from their death. And this is the culture that Jesus Christ came to establish for all mankind. The problem is, again, the culture of the world has crept in to the culture of the church, and we can no longer tell the saints from the ain'ts because the world's language has crept into the church's language, and now it's very hard to see who's a believer or a make-believer. I could sit with somebody for a very short period of time, and I could discern exactly where that person is. And then all I have to do is observe that person for a little bit. Whether that individual is aware of my observations or not is immaterial. I know where they're at. They may be in deception. They may be in lust. They may be in sin. But they don't think that where they're at is a detriment to the culture of heaven. Culture. What is culture? Culture is the act of developing the intellectual and moral faculties through education, expert care, and training that leads to the individual's implementation or application of these truths. I'll read it again. Culture is the act of developing the intellectual, our minds, our moral faculties, our spirits, through education, which we have studies, expert care, discipleship, and training that leads to the implementation. Training is the actual walking out, doing it in a practical sense so that you can see that God has enabled you to do these things. You can do these things. You just choose not to. And so that is a detriment because that culture out there does not have any care for the culture of Jesus Christ or heaven. Amen? And what happens is we bring that culture into God's house thinking that that culture is acceptable in God's house. And it is not. That culture, the way it behaves, the way it conducts itself, the way it speaks, is not conducive to the culture of love. And anyone who persists in that makes themselves an enemy to God because that culture is contrary to what heaven is all about. Amen? I like what Rush Limbaugh says. Those who listen to Rush, he talks about culture. He says this culture is maggot-infested, dope-oriented, sex-oriented, losers. That's what this culture is becoming and already is. Because what you focus your attention on, that is what you will eventually manifest. That's who you are. And I've told people before when I discipled them, if you want to conduct yourself like that, hit the road. That behavior is not acceptable here. What does this culture look like? Well, this culture looks like we've understood that we have a constitution that tells us exactly what the king does and what we're supposed to do. We have a system of laws that tells us what's right and what's wrong. We have principles in which we are supposed to operate from, in which reinforces our nature so that we can live a godly life, holy and acceptable before God. And yet, the people of God persist in living the culture of the world. And as Paul tells us, their destruction is certain. Their glory is their shame. And the problem that I see is the culture of the world has made everything shame-free. Go ahead, do it. It's fine. It's okay. Nobody cares. It's okay. God loves you. He does. But if you want to persist in that behavior that is contrary to what the Lord says for you, you will suffer the consequences. Even jeopardize your eternal salvation because you wish to conduct yourself in a way that is pleasing to the world, not pleasing to God. Why waste the time of those who are around you? You're pretending to be something that you don't desire to be. You're at a place where you don't want to be. You're not even interested in learning how to be something that God has already created you to be. Your gratification is what motivates you. And the end, as certain people have heard me say, be careful, your sin will find you out. And the consequences of your sin will go longer than where you wanted to go, take you places where you thought you couldn't go, leave you in a condition where you didn't think you would be left, and suffer more than you were wanting to pay for. And God wants to protect His people from the world's culture of filth and obscenity. What are we conveying? What is the culture that Jesus Christ is trying to develop in His church? What is it? What I see is pockets where the Spirit of God has really come in and really done a house cleaning in our spirits in such a way that we forsake the world. No matter what goes on in the world, we forsake it. We don't conduct ourselves like the world. And isn't that what the principles and the laws and the Constitution of what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is all about? Let me show you what Jesus said the culture is supposed to look like. Go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. He said it really clear, but again, like I said last week, I don't think the leadership of the church, the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists and teachers have done a really good job, because what they have done is relayed something to a bunch of do's and don'ts. I like to be Shakespearean. To be or not to be is what it's about. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, we'll read through verse 10. This is what the culture of heaven looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When was the last time you were persecuted for doing the right thing? Saying the right thing. Doing the right thing. Living the right thing. It all reflects the culture that you live in. You see, the subculture of what God has built in the kingdom is families. And when the family breaks down, so does the culture. And unfortunately, in the house of God, the culture has become polluted and materialistic, selfish and self-centered. God wants to bless me. He does. His way. We equate blessings by not being judged for our sin when we're in sin. That's called mercy. We keep messing up, and we keep messing up, and we're wondering why God doesn't strike us down. Because He has something greater than where you're groveling in. Just look at the prodigal. But if I do that, Pastor, my friends won't like me. They're not your friends. They're not. Anybody that tells you to go into sin and enjoy sin is not your friend. Whether they're in the church or out of the church. Like I said, the church is filled with a bunch of make-believers. Just because they're not committed to Jesus Christ, you will stand before the Lord by yourself. Not, you know, if Irene told me to do something that was contrary to the Word of God, I can't stand before God and say, God, she told me to do it. It's not going to work that way. The culture that Jesus Christ wants is a culture that is alive with love in the Spirit of God. But Pastor, I don't like doing this. I don't want to do that. It has nothing about what you want, what you like, dislike. When you gave your life and accepted Jesus Christ, you gave up your rights, remember? He gave you a list, a very short list. He has all your rights, you have none. That's the way it is in this culture. I mean, it can't get any more simpler. God makes up the rules. But you know what? That pretty young thing, I've fallen in love with her. And I just need to be next to her. And I want to fornicate with her.
Back up off.
She's in the right culture. Fornication, that's sex before marriage, which in God's eyes is sin. Let me put it to you this way. Those who have sex with someone outside of marriage is like having sex with your sister or your brother. That's disgusting, isn't it? That's how God looks at it. It's incestual. And that's what the world's culture tells us is acceptable. It's okay to have sex with boys. It's okay to have sex with girls. No problem. Girls get pregnant, we have a solution. We kill your baby. Convenient. $600, we'll kill your baby. And at the moment, to that young lady and that fella, that sounds like a reasonable solution to our problem. The only problem is she's left with the scar for the rest of her life. He's scot-free. He's on to the next one. Because all he sees is it's a notch in the belt. Culture. When our families break down and they don't train us, they don't tell us what we're supposed to be doing, because what they say and what they do doesn't match up, we have a conflict of culture. Right? I told you, don't be smoking dope. It's not good for you. Right? Don't yell and scream at your sister. Because that's not love. Do your chores around the house. Help out. Don't do what you think is okay, because eventually when you get out in the big world, you're going to find out you've got to do it all anyhow. You see, what happens is this generation thinks that it's all fun and games. That the reality of the culture out there is the world is my friend. I am going to make a big impact. Yeah, you're going to make an impact jumping from a 10-story building and you'll go splat on your face. And God is trying to salvage that. He's trying to get you educated and give you morals that will protect you. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. You see, anytime we do something, we have to think, how is this going to affect my eternal position with God? Not my temporal position with my friends, my family, or whoever. Paul says, do all to the glory of Jesus Christ. But as we're allowing the culture of this world penetrate our hearts and minds, what glory do we have but our shame? That we have been deceived, lied to, and set poor examples for the next generation. We are poor in spirit. And Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is ours. We should mourn over our sin, not take pride in what we've done. Sin is not something to be bragging about. Sin is something to be ashamed of. We should be meek. And meekness is not something weak. Meekness is having the internal strength of doing the right thing without any pride. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. We only want to do what's right and satisfies my carnality. Not what God wants to fill our hearts with. We are to be merciful, but yet we conduct ourselves mercilessly, assaulting one another, whether it's physical assault, sexual assault, or mental, emotional assault. We are merciless upon one another. And that's the culture of the world in the church. We are to be pure in heart, meaning that we should not be seeking our own gratification, but we should be seeking to be more like the Lord each and every day. Because when we are pure in heart, pure in thought, pure in motive, we see God all over the place. We're to be peacemakers, not disruptors. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Do you bring peace in your house? Do you bring the peace of the living Christ in your house? And I'm talking about your house, your heart. Or do you allow the culture of death rule and reign in your heart? The sons will be known by their father. Whether you are the devil or whether you are of Christ, they shall be known. Are you being persecuted for doing the right thing? Well, they're picking on me, Pastor. You don't understand. They're picking on me. Do the right thing. It's what righteousness is about. Standing in right standing with God. Doing what He tells you to do. You have no rights. We're all slaves to Jesus Christ. All of us. And all of us must fight to keep the culture of heaven within us and within the church of Jesus Christ. We must fight the good fight of warfare. The good fight of faith. Oh, but that's too hard, Pastor. That's too hard. I'd rather just have my thing and move on. And your end is destruction. Be not deceived. What you sow, you shall reap. Oh, that's not going to come upon me. Yeah. I can do whatever I want to do. You can think. You can think it. The culture of heaven must be protected. It must continue within us. And it must start in us. Well, I'm not doing it because she's not doing it. You'll stand before God. It doesn't matter what she's doing. It matters what you're doing. That's all. You know, you got to get it through the gray matter here. You got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, church. Our corrupt nature is corrupting the culture of the Spirit of God. And when that happens, He leaves. And when He leaves, I leave. Because I'm not going to be party to a corrupt culture. I was one time. I don't want it anymore. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, "Don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For that's what the pagans run after, these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." We're worrying more about what's happening to Britney Spears and the next fad and all the bling and all the ding and all this other baloney. And you are in jeopardy of your eternal salvation. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy with God. And He will destroy you. You're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. If you say that you name the name of Christ and live contrary to that, you are in jeopardy. You are. And I'm trying to warn you. The hand of God is heavy. I don't want it upon your lives. And you don't want it either. Although you're going to get it. And you won't like what you get. The citizens of the kingdom must be chasing after His kingdom and His righteousness. We must be about Father's business. Jesus was 12 years old. He left His family. He went into the temple and He taught the priest. 12 years old, He was teaching the priest. And His parents was all upset and they went looking for Him. And then when they found Him, He told them, "Must I not be about my Father's business?" What business are you after? You see, the culture is important. Your citizenship is important. Your citizenship has been paid for at a heavy price. And to trivialize it and treat it as something common jeopardizes your position. You see, what I think it is, and this happened to me. Irene and I, before I got saved, were almost divorced. Almost divorced. And what happened was, I almost lost something that I thought I couldn't lose. And what I thought I had securely in my hands, the tighter I tried to hold on to it, the more it slipped through my fingers. And that was my marriage. That would have been my children. The more we pretend to be Christians instead of becoming Christians, only jeopardizes our position. The culture of the world must stay out there. We are called to infect the world, not have it infect us. You see, you are not born with a culture. You are born into a culture. Jesus Christ has come and educated us. He has trained us. He has tried to show us a better way. To establish a different culture within our spirit. And when you're at that place where I was, that I almost lost something that I really took for granted and didn't place a lot of value on, when it was almost taken away, it changed me dramatically. What's it going to take? What's God going to have to do to tell you and show you how valuable and how much He loves you? Is it going to jail? Is it living on the street? Is it being a beggar because you're too lazy to work? Too lazy to be educated? It's not that you're stupid. You're lazy. Well, I just can't get up to go to work. Well, okay, fine. It's your life. But, you know, I quit school because I just had my friends and I, you know, we're just hanging out, you know, and just couldn't make it to class. Okay, fine. Your life. But understand this. The kingdom promotes people who are steadfast and faithful. And the more that they study, the more they educate themselves, the higher God elevates them. Everybody knows about Daniel. He was third in line to the king. And he was a boy. Young man, 20-some years of age. You can have dreams. You can have visions. You can have everything. But until you put something on the proverbial asphalt and start walking it out, you'll have nothing. You're living a lie and you're telling lies, which makes you a liar. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his angels. Church, He's coming. I sense it in my spirit. I am trying to prepare you to receive the glorious King. But He is not going to receive you in the condition that you're in. He's not. He has that right. I pray that I'm acceptable to Him. And like I said, I'm only a half a step ahead of you guys. You can live your life, but understand when He comes, doesn't mean that you're going to go with Him. What culture are you in? I know what culture you're in. What is important to you? Living for today, or knowing that you have a life after this. And you have a life after this. It'll just be determined whether it'll be in the lake of fire where you will pay out your crimes of disobedience and rebellion, or a life of splendor, pleasantry, and glory. Jesus gives us the choice. But it starts with you understanding that you are a citizen of heaven. You need to start living it. As you live it, more and more the culture of heaven begins to manifest. And as it manifests in the church, people want to come into an atmosphere that glorifies God. They don't understand. When was the last time somebody said, you know what, there's something different about you. Last time I saw you, you were this whack job. But now, there's something different about you. When was the last time somebody said that to you? I ran into a guy the other day, hadn't seen in 20 years. He said, something different about you. And I began to witness to him. Tell them about the kingdom of God. Tell them about heaven. Tell them about my Savior. Tell them about my King. 20 years. Almost as long as I've been walking with the Lord. But he noticed something different. What's different about you? Your citizenship determines your culture. Your culture determines your citizenship. If you're a citizen of this world, you will perish. If you're a citizen of the King, Kingdom of Heaven, I encourage you. I implore you. Do not take this very lightly. Your eternal life depends on it. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your culture. I thank you, God, that your word is true. I am not ashamed of your word, God, and I am not ashamed of you. I will declare you amongst the heathen. I will declare your word amongst your people. I will live your word, God, as you give me more grace to live it. I will live it, God, for your glory. For you are my strength and my shield, my buckler, Lord God. And I pray for your church today, God. I pray that the culture of the world would be eradicated from them, God. I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ that would cleanse them from all unrighteousness, God, would heal the wounds in their hearts and soul, Lord God. Father, I pray against the enemy who would deceive God's people, who would really do a hatchet job on your people, God. I pray for their protection, God. I pray that their minds, God, would be enlightened to your word, and that the cloudiness and the darkness of their minds, God, would be given to light. We are children of the light, and we need to act like it. So, Father, as we go forth in this week, God, I pray more and more that we would hunger and thirst for your righteousness. God, that we would hunger and thirst to live a life that we would not be happy unless we are persecuted, God. We would not be happy unless people are saying things about us, calling us Jesus freaks or whatever. God, I just pray that we're not same old any longer. And God, those who think this is just fun and games, God, I pray your will be done in their lives. Your word is clear. Your will is understood. Do what you got to do, God, to bring them to a place that they understand how much you truly love us and how much you paid for us, God. I don't ask for blessings any longer, God. I ask that you rule and reign in your church, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, blow away the chaff. Blow away those who are pretenders. Make believers. God, we want believers here. We want people who really want to get on about your business, God. Who have surrendered their lives in a way that they come forth out of their prayer closet saying, what is it? What's the one thing I can do to extend the kingdom of heaven? God, be glorified in your church. Forgive us, God, of those areas where we just feel that we've taken it for granted, God. God, I gave forth your warning today. As you have given it to me, I have given it to your people. Holy Spirit, do what you have to do. I give you permission to do what you have been commissioned to do in my life. I can't speak for anyone else. But as we stand here, God, bring an end to ourselves so that we may find our life in you to its fullness. I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.